It's nearly noon and time for the KMXT Midday News. Thank you for listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station, broadcasting from high atop Signal Hill, overlooking beautiful downtown Kodiak. It is a beautiful day, 43 degrees out there, clear skies. Rain is likely tonight, though, a low around 40 overnight, and blustery winds gust as high as 35 miles per hour from the east, so that's going to be wet. And they're even saying we may get a little snow and rain after 4 a.m. I'm sorry. Coming up on the Midday News, a Kodiak Coast Guard Jayhawk helicopter and a long-distance medevac. The state of the sea cucumber fishery. A big backlog in Alaska's court system due to COVID. And Liz Ruskin does a Dan Sullivan profile. All that and more coming up right after national headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Winsor Johnston. Former President Barack Obama will campaign on behalf of Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden in the crucial swing state of Pennsylvania tonight. NPR's Asma Khalid reports the stop in Philadelphia comes less than 2 weeks before Election Day.
The coronavirus pandemic and concerns over public safety have limited the degree to which Democrats feel comfortable holding big traditional rallies. Today, Obama is hosting a drive-in car rally in Philadelphia, where he'll highlight the historic stakes of this election and emphasize the urgency of voting early. In 2016, Donald Trump narrowly won Pennsylvania, a first for a Republican presidential candidate since the 1980s. Biden himself is not campaigning today. He's meeting with advisors, preparing for the final presidential debate that's scheduled for tomorrow night. Asma Khalid, NPR News.
President Trump is continuing his campaign swing through several key states. He's scheduled to rally supporters tonight near Charlotte, North Carolina. The Justice Department says it's reached a more than $8 billion settlement with Purdue Pharma. Deputy Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen says the pharmaceutical giant has pleaded guilty to three federal criminal charges as part of the agreement.
In addition, the company has agreed to a $3.544 billion criminal fine and a $2 billion criminal forfeiture amount. Further, on top of those, to resolve its civil liability, Purdue Pharma has agreed to $2.8 billion in damages to the United States.
The OxyContin maker was accused of paying kickbacks to prescribers and pharmacies and has been widely accused of fueling the nation's opioid epidemic. Pope Francis is receiving both praise and criticism for endorsing same-sex civil unions. NPR's Tom Gelton reports the Pope's comments fall short of what LGBTQ advocates want, but go beyond what he has said previously.
In an interview for a new documentary film, Pope Francis said, "What we have to create is a civil union law." He noted he has stood up for civil unions before, but this goes beyond what he has said previously, and it sharply diverges from the view of Pope Benedict, his predecessor. The Human Rights Campaign, the largest LGBTQ civil rights organization in the U.S., called the Pope's comments a significant step for inclusion and acceptance. Dignity USA, representing pro-LGBTQ Catholics, also welcomed the Pope's comments, but cautioned he has yet to challenge official Catholic teachings on marriage. Tom Gelton, NPR News.
Stocks are trading lower on Wall Street at this hour. The Dow was down 98 points, the Nasdaq Composite down 31, the S&P down 7 points. This is NPR News.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
A Coast Guard Jayhawk helicopter crew from Kodiak medevaced a fisherman from a factory trawler just before 7 yesterday morning. The Coast Guard says the fishing vessel Defender was about 100 miles northwest of Cold Bay when it hoisted a crew member from the ship and took him to Cold Bay for emergency care and further transport to Anchorage. The call for help came out about 12 hours earlier when the Coast Guard was told that a 26-year-old man was experiencing head and eye pain. The Coast Guard also diverted the cutter Alex Haley to assist if needed. The economic impacts of COVID-19 are being felt in every community around the world, and Kodiak dive fisheries are no exception. KMXT's Dylan Simard has this story.
Kodiak's only sea cucumber fishery has run into a new problem this year. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game says the cucumbers are fine. The allotted yield is the same 120,000-pound figure it was last year. It's the divers, actually. Typically, there are over 20 divers who take the plunge every season in October to catch many thousands of pounds of sea cucumbers. According to Nat Nichols, area management biologist for dive fisheries, this season, not so much as one has signed up. The issue is likely a market problem. Divers usually pay for a permit, find their own buyers, and then catch and sell to those buyers. But without demand in overseas Asian markets, catching the cucumbers commercially would make no sense, as local commercial diver Brian Vitt explains.
No, I mean, it's kind of cut and dry. If with no buyer, there's no cucumber diving. With the price being low, there's no way we can recoup our money and make it profitable. And there's definitely the divers are willing to dive, but there's just nothing to sell it to right now. The market's somewhat saturated, but that's never been a problem in the past. There's always people wanting fresher or freezable. There's more than one market, which is dried or fresh. But without us having a buyer to get it processed and get it off this island, then we don't really have a choice.
According to Vitt, with the market gone, divers are left holding the bag.
It's a total loss, or everybody else is looking for other work.
While sea cucumbers are still being caught elsewhere on the West Coast, it may be that market forces particular to this year make Kodiak a less profitable option for those in the trade. Sea cucumbers are not the only catch that suffers from this issue. There has not been a sea urchin caught under a fisheries permit in Kodiak for nearly two decades. There is no reason to believe that the sea cucumbers in Kodiak will be a rare harvest in the future, but it seems unlikely that market demand will change drastically over the course of the October to April season. In Kodiak, I'm Dylan Simard.
Dan Sullivan was a first-time candidate in 2014. He ran on a platform of holding back the Obama administration. Now Senator Sullivan is running for re-election after nearly 4 years in which the leader of his party, Donald Trump, has dominated politics. Alaska Public Media's Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin has this profile of Sullivan and his positioning relative to a polarizing president.
Sullivan can be a hard person to pin down, especially when he's asked about President Trump's statements and behavior. Last year, when Trump was accused of pressuring Ukraine to dig up dirt on Joe Biden,
I have no comment on that until I see what the facts are. I'm not going to learn the facts from reading it in the press.
2 days later, after Trump released a rough transcript of a call where he asked the president of Ukraine to dig up dirt on Joe Biden,
I haven't read it yet.
A month into the impeachment inquiry surrounding that call.
I'm not sure I got a yes or a no on whether you thought that he was acting solely in the national interest on that phone call.
Look, I'm just trying to. I think you're framing.
As he runs for re-election, Sullivan is threading a needle. He rarely criticizes Trump. According to the website 538.com, he votes Trump's position more than 90% of the time. But as a tide of anger at the president rises over much of America, Sullivan isn't waving a Trump banner either. He barely mentioned the president's name in his first debate with Al Gross. Yet Sullivan is constantly challenged to defend or denounce Trump's latest tweet or action. It's an odd spot for Sullivan to be in, since he was quick in 2016 to call for Trump to leave the race when the Access Hollywood tape came out. This time, Sullivan says he's voting for Trump.
He was overwhelmingly supported by Alaskans. And I thought my job, and it is my job, to work with him. He's proven to be a very strong partner for Alaska.
Jim Dodson of Fairbanks says, why should Sullivan have to answer for anything Trump says or does?
You know, quite honestly, Dan Sullivan's a busy man, and he deals in significant issues, very significant issues.
Dodson is president of the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation. He says Sullivan has been brilliant at convincing military leaders that Alaska is the place they want to keep their newest aircraft and assets. It's not just that he's an officer in the Marine Reserves. Dodson points to Sullivan's service in the Bush White House and in the State Department. He says Sullivan understands global dynamics and has the credibility to make the case for Alaska's strategic importance.
That stuff takes years to know. It takes years to understand, and Dan has spent those years, and he understands it.
Dodson says Trump's latest tweet or speech just isn't relevant to what Sullivan is working on. So in his view, it's no wonder Sullivan doesn't talk about it. Money is now pouring into the Alaska Senate race on both sides. Early in the year, this was considered a safe Republican seat. But Miles Coleman saw the potential for drama. He's associate editor of Sabato's Crystal Ball, a nonpartisan election forecasting newsletter affiliated with the University of Virginia.
This race in Alaska, for me, it's becoming like one of my, maybe one of my pet races.
Coleman says Sullivan, by quietly sticking close to Trump, is positioning himself just as other vulnerable Republican senators are.
Like your ones like Tom Tillis in North Carolina, Joni Ernst in Iowa. I think a lot of them realize, or at least that they made the calculation, that if they're going to win re-election, they need as much of that Trump Republican base as they can get.
It's not true that Sullivan always sides with Trump. Sullivan opposed Trump's steel tariffs, and while Trump has repeatedly denied that the Russians meddled in the 2016 election, Sullivan's not with him on that.
Is there any doubt in your mind that Russians interfered with the election in a systematic way?
No doubt.
Anti-Trump political strategist Reid Galen says Sullivan hasn't stood up to Trump nearly enough.
In too many instances, his silence equals complicity with President Trump's misdeeds.
Galen is a Republican. 6 years ago, he flew to Alaska to help Sullivan prepare for his debates against Mark Begich. Now Galen works with the Lincoln Project, a group of never-Trumpers that has spent more than $3 million on the Alaska race to help Sullivan's opponent. Galen says the Lincoln Project is working to unseat Trump and every Republican senator who stood by him.
United States senators have enormous authority. They have enormous sway. They have enormous ability to move things or not move things based on how they believe an administration is operating. And every time these senators have rolled over on their Article I, you know, responsibilities to hold the executive branch accountable.
Polls show Donald Trump is likely to win Alaska. So a majority of Alaska voters might be happy to have a senator who doesn't pile on when an unconventional president causes an uproar. We'll find out after Election Day. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Kodiak's police chiefs say it's back to the drawing board for the new tsunami warning sirens, which got their first real test after Monday's 7.5 magnitude earthquake near Sand Point triggered a tsunami warning. While people in some areas heard the sirens well, in other areas there were complaints that they weren't loud enough or that the sirens' voice messages echoed so much they couldn't be understood. Chief Tim Putney says to expect two separate tests at 2 this afternoon. Each will generate 60 seconds of tone, followed by a tone that sounds like the Westminster chimes or a doorbell, to signal the end of the tone tests. Putney said, there will be no audio messages in today's tests.
We're looking for any noticeable audible difference in the tones to see maybe which one is preferred or which one seems to carry further. And if people can give us the feedback, we set up an email address just for it.
That address is sirens@city.kodiak.ak.us. Again, that address is sirens@city.kodiak.ak.us. Putney says you can also comment on the department's Facebook page or just give them a call.
We want them to work for their intended purpose first and foremost, and having all these messages in different languages sounded like a great idea at first, but if that doesn't work for the community, then you know we'll pare it back.
Putney says they traced the problems down to a missing radio component and a power supply issue, which will be resolved soon, but not before today's tests. And for now, it's back to the basics.
I do want people to know that we are troubleshooting two known problems, the Bayside Fire Department siren and the Bayview Drive siren. Both have some known issues that we're working on fixing right now.
Putney says the new siren system is a work in progress, and the community can help with its feedback. Again, to share your experiences, send an email to sirens@city.kodiak.ak.us. You can also comment on the department's Facebook page or just give them a call. After a months-long delay, jury trials for misdemeanors in Alaska will resume on November 2nd. The state's courts have not held jury trials since March due to COVID-19. While some hearings have been conducted over the phone and via video conference, hundreds more have been backed up. Joel Bolger is Chief Justice of the Alaska Supreme Court. He says safety is a top priority for the return of jury trials.
For any types of trials, masks will be required in the courtroom. We have plexiglass shields in front of the places where people are generally talking. There will be a temperature screening, and the same thing will be done for everyone that participates in a trial, including the judge and the court personnel and the attorneys.
Bolger also says the courts are increasing written and online communication in order to limit travel.
We will try to do more questioning of jurors either through a written questionnaire or online questionnaire or by telephone or video conference before they are required to travel. That is, so that we can make sure that people don't have to travel unnecessarily.
Bolger says that misdemeanor trials, which only require 6 jurors, will allow courtrooms to have social distancing. But felony trials require 12 jurors, so juries won't be able to hear felony trials until 2021.
Probably not consider doing any felony trials until after the first of the year. If there are extraordinary circumstances, the parties can ask the presiding judge to allow a trial, but otherwise felonies is something that we will wait and see on.
Despite the delays, Bolger says he's confident the court system will be able to catch up.
I also expect that the attorneys will take into account their own resources and the best interests of their clients, and a lot of cases will settle. It will take a while for us to address the backlog, but doing jury trials is something that we're accustomed to doing.
Alaskans across the state woke up on Tuesday morning to a strange, threatening email telling them how to vote in next month's presidential election.
It says, "We are in possession of all your information, email, address, telephone, everything. You are currently registered as a Democrat, and we know this because we have gained access into the entire voting infrastructure. You will vote for Trump on election day, or we will come after you."
That's Kane Stanton, an Anchorage hardware store manager, who got one of the emails. Residents across the state posted screenshots of the emails they got on Tuesday in communities from Ketchikan to Petersburg to Bristol Bay. People in Florida say they got them too. Federal law bars voter intimidation, but state officials and the FBI would only say they were aware of the emails and that they wouldn't release details about their response or speak to the seriousness of the threat. Stanton says he remains an undeterred anti-Trump voter, but he says he wanted to get people's attention because others who might take the emails seriously.
Whether you do vote or you don't vote for Trump, that's not my point. My point is the fact that you're doing something because of this fear tactic of telling you what to do and what not to do. And And that is not how I was raised. Like, I don't care your political party.
The source of the emails remains unknown. Some of them came from an address that suggests it's affiliated with the Proud Boys, a far-right group known for its violent demonstrations. But some of the group's leaders took to social media to vehemently deny that they were involved.
Today's KMXT Local News is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. The Board of Fish sets new meeting dates. More after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute provides digital and print marketing materials to the Alaska seafood industry. Find thousands of stunning photos, high-quality video footage, and sales tools at alaskaseafood.org.
The State Board of Fisheries has set the dates for meetings bumped from later this year due to COVID virus concerns. Board Director Glenn Haight has the breakdown.
March 4th, the Hatchery Committee. March 5th to the 10th would be statewide all shellfish. So those are the same dates. So the Prince William Sound meeting has been rescheduled to March 30th through April 5th, and the Southeastern Yakutat Fin Fish and Shellfish meeting is scheduled for April 17th through the 29th.
The plan is to hold in-person meetings, including at Cordova and Ketchikan, Haight says, while carefully monitoring COVID threats.
And it's possible that if an outbreak occurred at a meeting, that the meeting is over.
While nothing can replace meeting face-to-face, Haight says the response to Zoom meetings has been positive, and it's easy to bring in experts from far away to participate.
So if you're meeting in Anchorage, for instance, you're not going to be able to bring in our regional subsistence expert from Fairbanks. But all of a sudden, when we got to a certain part of the meeting, there she was, available for questions if it came up. So it can do a bit more, I think, sometimes.
Meanwhile, 4 out of 7 fish board seats are being warmed by people not yet approved by the Alaska legislature. The same holds true for the governor's appointees to 137 boards and commissions.
Yeah, our Attorney General, Aaron Peterson, provided a little update. At this point, they don't have a solid answer, and he was going to get back to the board on that. It's not just Board of Fish. It's all of the board and commission appointments that have been made. It's a lot of individuals. So it's very concerning for the state, and they're looking into it.
Haight says the Fish Board will take up 275 proposals in its upcoming meeting cycle.
Yeah. No, you know what? We're gonna see what happens with this year, and hopefully things will settle enough so we can get these proposals done.
Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods, serving Alaska's fishing communities since 1910. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Fish Radio is supported in part by Joy Crafts, specializing in marine safety equipment. U.S. Coast Guard approved AMSI instruction for commercial fishing vessel safety procedures and drills, serving Kodiak for over 25 years. 486-6293 at 445 Shahafka Circle.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the 21st day of October, the year 2020. The sun rose today at 8:59 and it will set again at 6:47 this evening, just after dinner time, giving us 9 hours and 48 minutes of daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 50 seconds. Our record high for this date was 54 degrees, set in 1936. And our record low was 16, set in 1974. Looking at our local district tides, we have a low tide that just happened at 11:26 here on the east side. That was a 2.8-foot tide. Our next high tide will be at 5:38 p.m., a 9.5-foot tide, followed by a low tide right after midnight at 12:35 a.m. That will be a slight minus tide, minus 0.15 feet. And our high tide tomorrow morning will be at 7:18 on the east side, 6.8 feet. Over on the west side, and these are Uganic Pass tides, You have a low tide coming up at 12:16. You just had a low tide. It was a 3.2-foot tide. Your next high tide will be at 6:08 p.m., 15.4 feet, followed by a low tide at 12:58 a.m., almost 1 in the morning, of minus 0.1 foot. And your high tide for tomorrow morning on the west side will be at 7:32 a.m., 13-foot tide. It is sunny and pleasant outside right now, but it's going to get windy and rainy tonight. Even though these mostly sunny skies are expected to go on the rest of the afternoon, rain is likely tonight, mainly after 4 a.m., increasing clouds all night with a low around 40. East wind will gust up to 35 miles per hour tonight. For tomorrow, rain is likely mainly after 4 p.m., cloudy skies and a high near 49. East wind to 35 miles per hour, increasing to 45 miles per hour tomorrow afternoon right here in town. And for Thursday night, rain is likely before 10 p.m. and cloudy skies, low around 42, so not as cold as it has been, but east wind to 40 miles per hour on Thursday night, gusting as high as 55 miles per hour on Thursday night. And looks like those winds are expected to go on through Friday as well. Speaking of wind, here's your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A front in the southwest Gulf will spread Wednesday afternoon into the central Gulf and persist through Thursday morning and Friday. The resulting weather, we have gale warnings all over the place. For Marmot Island and Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side offshore, we have east wind to 25 knots right now and seas to 7 feet. Tonight, look for those east winds to increase to 35 knots and then 45 knots after midnight. Seas will build from 13 to 18 feet after midnight. And for Thursday, we're looking for east winds to 45 knots, seas to 20 feet off our east side. Thursday night, east 40, seas 19 feet. For Friday, they're calling for southeast winds at 35 knots, seas at 7 feet. And Saturday, southeast 20, seas to 10 feet on our east side. Over on the west side in the Shelikof Strait, gale warning through Thursday. Northeast wind to 25 knots, increasing to 35 knots this afternoon. Seas will build to 14 feet this afternoon. For tonight, northeast winds to 40 knots, seas building to 19 feet in the Shelikof. For Thursday, northeast wind to 45 knots and seas to 20 feet. And for Friday, east winds to 35 knots, seas coming down to 12 feet in the Shelikof. For our inside waters, Chiniac and Marmot Bays, Chiniac Bay gale warning for Thursday. For tonight, east wind to 25 knots and seas to 9 feet. For tomorrow, east wind to 25 knots will increase to 35 knots tomorrow afternoon. Seas will build to 14 feet tomorrow afternoon. And for Friday, east wind to 30 knots, seas to 11 feet. In Marmot Bay, gale warning for Thursday as well. East winds to 30 knots tonight, seas building to 12 feet. For tomorrow, look for east winds to 35 knots, seas building to 16 feet tomorrow afternoon in Marmot Bay. And for Thursday night, east wind to 35 knots, seas to 16 feet. How nice. Just to repeat what we just heard from the police chief, the 2 o'clock test of the sirens will include two different tests. Both will be 60 seconds of tone, followed by the Westminster doorbell chime sound. The first will be the new siren sound, and the second will be one that's closer to the old bombs going dropping siren sound that we were used to. So be sure to send your comments as to which one you could hear better. You can do that to the Kodiak Police Facebook page. It would probably be the most fun way. You can also email them at sirens@city.kodiak.ak.us. We do have some meetings coming up. The Consolidation Committee meeting is committee is meeting Monday, October 26th in the Assembly Chambers. The Parks and Recreation Committee meeting is in the Bayside Fire Hall Tuesday, the 27th at 12 p.m. And the City Council is meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 7:30 on Thursday.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181. Fax us at 486-2733 or email psa@kmxt.org.